This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to the very first roundtable of Geek Hearing. We wanted to do this for a very long time and we never kind of pulled through with it because that's how we do. But because we have Love Month this month, we thought, what a great idea if we have a pool of wonderful people who are all amazing and rainbow and have so many stories to tell. This is the perfect month to do it. So welcome everyone to the very first roundtable about love in every form.
Yay, I'm so excited to have this panel today, this roundtable discussion. We've got some absolute babes on today who, between volunteering and being asked to join us, I'm just blown away by everybody who's here, who's sharing stories with us and getting excited about love.
Because isn't it great? Isn't love great? Especially because it's super LGBTQ history, LGBTQ History Month. Yes.
In the UK.
Because it's totally opposite in the US. They switch around between Black History Month and LGBT. It's very weird and it's always in the same month, which is fascinating. But because it's LGBTQ History Month and it's like the month where this weird holiday of love is in, like the capitalist Valentine's Day situation, other people may have other opinions in this panel. That's just my personal and my own. We thought this will be a good month to do it and show people all the amazing things about love. So let's get going with the great people that we have on today. So I would like to say hi and thank you very much for Gemma to be, who is not only our mod, but general, a wonderful human being. Hi, Gemma. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Mommy. Thanks for asking again.
Well, this is where I cut it now, so you know, it's now official.
I'm like, are we doing this again? Are you, Mommy?
No, we're not doing this again. So maybe we just, I'm going to say hi to everyone and then everybody can introduce themselves. So hi, Jay.
Hello.
Hi, Frasley.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Ariana.
Hey.
Hey, and hi, Rick.
Hello, hello, hello.
And if you could all just maybe quickly introduce yourselves and what is so special about you or what is just super normal about you or what are you here to talk about today with us? Amanda.
I was like, are we just free, like just jumping in here? Anyways, hi, I'm Amanda. My pronouns are she, her, and I am bi, pan, I think everyone's hot. I really liked Lizzie's answer to that the other day, and I'm like, yep, everyone's hot. Love it. Cool with that.
Perfect. Gemma.
Hi, I'm Gemma. My pronouns are she and her. I am queer, and if I had to like bury down a little bit more to a label, I would say that I identify as polysexual. I'm polyamorous, and I identify as a dominant as well.
Ooh. Jay, what about you?
Hi, I am Jay. Pronouns are he, they. I am gender fluid. I'm also pansexual, and I'm also polyamorous, and I think that's it under this category.
I like that you started to count on the fingers because there's so much awesomeness to say about you. It's great. Hey, Frasley, what do you want to tell us about yourself?
So I'm Frasley. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a trans woman. I'm asexual, aromantic, but I'm also poly with two queer platonic partners.
Interesting. Thank you so much. Hi, Ariana. What do you have to share with everyone?
I mean, yeah, I'm Ariana. My pronouns are she, her. I'm queer and polyamorous currently in a lovely throuple with two amazing people. Yeah, that's me.
Thank you so much. And Rick, what about Hello. You? Hello.
Hello. So yeah, my my pronouns are he, they. I kind of like the word queer because I'm a huge fan of labels, which I've spoken about a lot before and might even come up today. But like if I was to put it into labels, I'd agender and gay, and drilling down into the agender even more because I know there's like a bit of context under there. I am not agender in terms of I don't have a gender. I'm agender in terms of my gender doesn't really matter to me. So even though I say my pronouns are he, they, if you were to use she, they, anything, I really don't care. It's whatever for me.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. And thank you, everybody, for being on once again. I mean, I've said that like 15 times already, but, you know.
That's how excited she is.
That's how excited I am. And that's also kind of how I release my pressure or something. Okay, so we're here today because we want to talk about love in every form. And I'm just going to throw one question out there, and whoever has something to say can just go ahead and shoot ahead, and then we can ball this between ourselves. Never mind, what an analogy. So what does love mean to you? And whoever wants to speak, please feel free to speak.
I think in my opinion, there's so much to love. If you just want to say like what is one definition that could apply to everything, it's just an extreme deep set emotion and connection with somebody else. Something that you want to work to build on it, and you would, it's like a feeling of like happiness and connection and almost protection of your bond. And then it's, you know, multifaceted, like the feeling I love for someone romantically is completely different, but also very, very similar than like how I feel of love for my friends and my family.
I like that. I remember like ages back I read this quote, which is that like love isn't a noun, it's an active verb. Like to struggle, it's something that you choose to do, it's something that you actively do. And I've always really held on to that. I think that it's more than a feeling. It is also in your actions and your choices if or you choose to love them. And that is very individual. And as long as you're not hurting anybody, I'm very like, you do you.
And I would go so far as to say that for me, love is absolutely everything. It's the driving force of the universe. Love is the power that will mend souls and cause babies to laugh. It's the power of revolutions. It's the power of changing laws. It's the power of finding community, celebrating it, uplifting it. I mean, there's a reason why I have it tattooed on my wrist. Love is absolutely everything, and it has been everything in my life.
I absolutely agree with those vibes that Gem is sharing. My name, Amanda, means fit to be loved in Latin, and my last name means warrior. And I have often, and for the last year, really identified myself as a love warrior because I feel so strongly about love amongst like romantic partners and friendships and fandoms and the universe and familial. Like there's just so much to love in this world. And I really do believe that it's the change that we need in this world, this universe, and it's what brings us together and holds us together. And it's so important.
And yeah. Like, oh, go ahead.
No, go on, Frosty.
To me, love's always been much more than what we have traditionally been calling it, like love romantically. Like I've loved how the Greeks had so many forms to love. The love of a sibling, the love of doing something for somebody, the love for doing something for somebody because of a passion and a conviction. The Christians would call that agape, but agape is that universal, that I know I need to do this for you because something's calling in me to do this for you. I'm giving you something selfishly that may actually, I won't get anything back from it, but I'm doing it for you. And that's why I've always seen love as something that I hate that we can't tell somebody I love you without having them wonder, oh, are you coming on to me? Are you flirting with me? Because, I mean, I don't flirt. And if I do, it's not intentional, because I tell everybody that I love them, because it is truly who I am. I love everybody, unless you're an asshole. If you're an asshole, I won't love you, and I won't give you any of that love. That love is reserved for those that I cherish.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to kind of just kind of echo what everyone has said. I completely agree with kind of the sentiments here so far. And I think it's really, as kind of Fradley just said, you know, we've had a history of what the word love means and how there are many different forms of it and how there are many different shapes and sizes of what love can be and how we can express that love. And over time, due to whatever history, politicians, etymology, just the passing of time, that has fizzled down into romantic and not really much else. And even, you know, when we see love in media, we see love portrayed as, you know, friendships that usually end up turning into something romantic. We see love that is not necessarily, you know, platonic. We see love that is just a mess and not really understanding or trying to define what love is. They just assume that it's this thing that can be marketed or can be sold, when in reality, kind of, you know, as everyone else has said here, it's that driving force behind everything it is that we try and do in our lives. It's what makes us want to get out of the bed in the morning, our love for our jobs, our love for ourselves, our love for just wanting to go for a walk, our love for our family, our love for our friends. Like that is, at the end of the day, to me, what love really means. And it's hard, because I don't think that the world necessarily sees it that way, because you can try and declare love for a friend, and, you know, as Frazia said, as other people have said, that can be taken one way. It can be, I think it was it Gemma? I think you tweeted something recently that was like, tell your friends you love them. Like, stop being a coward. Tell your friends you love them. It will be weird. Sorry. It will be weird for like the first week or so if you keep telling them you love them. But after a while, it will get better and it will be fine. And like, people understand that you're not coming onto someone. You're not being overly affectionate. You're not being too intimate. You're just expressing that you care for them. And that's what that word means. And we shouldn't be afraid of that. And we shouldn't be scared of that.
The desire for... Go ahead, Erin.
No, sorry, go on.
I think the desire for a connection with something, including ourselves, is love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to add that as well, that self-love also has to fall in here, because it's also a really like vital part. And I think all of us have had, from what I know of everyone here, we've all had our own struggles with self-love. And as we're finding ourselves more and becoming more confident in who we are, we're falling in love with ourselves more each day.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. If I can piggyback off of a couple of things I've picked up from people, like when Gemma said love is the driving force of the universe, that is something that I really connect to. I was raised very religious. And I kind of struggle with that a little bit, just with, because of the religion I was raised in. And, but there is a quote that said, you know, God is love. And then I've really attached to that. And that's kind of how I define my spirituality, in a way. Like, not saying, like, that, like, you know, there is a being that is God that is, you know, love. But, like, the love that we feel, that is what I believe in. That is the spirituality. That is the thing that connects us all.
Yeah, because even in that faith that I grew up in, they had their golden rule, and I like the addition of that, do unto others as they would like you to do for them, and kind of like, don't think of yourself, but think of the other person, think of their perspective.
I find it really interesting that we're like, so just to go back to something that Rick said about like the whole like, tell your friends that you love them. Like, I grew up in an environment where that was very normal for me to do. So like, I have always expressed my love for my friends very freely, and kind of took that for granted and only really realized that that was not so much the norm in other places when I encountered that, when I started moving around. But for me, I've always thought of that, because if I think about the sort of entire 29-year journey of my life so far, the relationships that have defined me and defined who I've become as a person and the choices I've made and I think have contributed the most to my life, most of them have been platonic friendships or familial relationships. Very mm-hmm. few of them have been romantic. So I've always seen that as, like, for me, the purest definition of love, because, and it's not even just relationships that are to individuals. It can be a relationship to a whole community or to a cause, you know, wanting to do good in the world or fighting for equality or any of those kind of causes. You know, I don't just care about these things because I think it's the right thing. I care about these things because I have a love for humanity and I think we can do better.
Definitely.
Word.
Yeah. Coming from that as well, like in my upbringing, my relationship with the word love was not bad necessarily, but my family and to some extent the friends I had, we didn't really use the word love a lot. It wasn't really, you know, we never said I love you all the time, but that didn't mean that our relationships and, you know, with my family and my friends were lacking love. It just meant that we showed it in different ways. Like, you know, my parents would always say, you know, if you need me at 3 o'clock in the morning, just give me a call. I'll be there because, you know, I care for you and, you know, that's never going to be a problem for me. You know, my siblings always told me that they had my back and, you know, they'd always support me in everything they did. But we never really used the word love. And I don't really know why. I don't know why that was the case. I don't know if it's because we were afraid of it. I don't know if it's because we were, you know, scared of it. But I never and there was never a point in my life or when I think back to my childhood that I was like, I can't, you know, I never lacked that feeling of what that support and love meant. And it took me a while, I think, as I grew up to kind of understand that it was okay to say love, and love wasn't a word to be scared of. And it wasn't, you know, that was something that you could quite openly display to people and talk about actively. Both of those things were fine. And it even, you know, it's even kind of echoed into the streams I do. I think I had a conversation with Gemma and a few of other people's before, of, like, not saying, like, trying to cut back on the amount I said that I love you, like, you know, to people who are watching my stream and to my community, because I was afraid of what people might think of that. I was afraid of how people might take that. But at the end of the day, you know, the love that I'm showing to those people, as I say, it's, again, it's that thankfulness. It's that, you know, I'm so, yeah, thankful that people would come and do what they do for me, that I need to tell them I love them. You know, that it's not a romantic love. It's a genuine, thankful love. And yeah, I think Amanda mentioned it as well. Like, we grow as people constantly. And every time I grow, I mean, I did a lot of self-discovery last year. That's when I learned I was agender. I learned that there was a whole entire another side of me that I had to love for myself. And I had to learn to love that. I'm still trying to learn to love that. It's hard. It's not easy a lot of the time. But it's not a case of, I do hate it when people go, oh, you need to learn to love yourself. As if, like, that's something that you do overnight. You read a book and then you're like, cool, done. That's great. I now love myself. Brilliant. We can move on with life. It's not the case. You know, yeah, things change. You understand more about yourself. The world changes. You have to understand how you fit inside that world. And as kind of things, yeah, develop, it's kind of a case of, okay, this is, I now need to kind of either not necessarily redefine what love means to me, but find a way of how love now fits into my life with this new aspect of whatever it is that I've now encountered. So I do agree that it's very important to love yourself, but that is never a finished journey. It's never a film. It's never there's an ending up ahead. It's always you're gonna have to keep learning to love yourself and love the changes and everything that happens around you.
Also, I think there are a few things in what you say as well, because there is often this assumption that you can only love other people when you love yourself. And while I do agree that to some degree it's like necessary to know what you want, in a way, to know what you want from a person or whatever, but that's still is a really huge burden for everybody who is not already not quite loving themselves. And then hearing that they're not deserving of love because they don't love themselves yet is just, I think, too much to carry for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I find it generally super interesting that all of you, like most of you, are like super vocal about telling other people how much they love them.
Yeah.
Because I'm really not. and I think that there are a few things that are related to that, because number one, my love language is not words of affirmation. Like, I have 0 points with words of affirmation when it comes to the test. So I'm like, words don't do anything for me. Like, they don't do anything for me, and I can't word well with other people. Like, I have a hard time telling the weirdo that I love him. Like, I use the weaker German word for it because it just feels weird. And I think words are often something that can be taken away. So because my love language is acts of service, that's how I show my love, right? And that's how my family has, like, my mother has shown her love like that. My mother has also been super vocal about how much she loves us. But that's just to a degree where it's super, where it became super awkward in a way. Like, so it's like, it's not that you wanted to hear that all the time. And it's not like, and it has been under this umbrella of when you're in, like, you don't know how much it pains me when you cry because I love you so much. And, you know, that was kind of this pressure coming with this certain, with this overflowing, like, vocalization of the love that she had for us, which, I mean, carried over into everything she did as well. Like, it was always just generally this huge amount of love that you can't, like, don't know where to, how to get out of. And if you don't consent to that in a way and can't as a kid, then it's just a lot in a way, where you don't find your own boundaries of where love can start and where it has to stop for you. So I think that's also the reason for me why I'm like, I'm not one who is telling everybody how much she loves them. I do that differently. Like, I will be the one who will drive, like, I don't know, 3 hours just to pick you up and bring you for coffee and bring you back home. That's what I would do. But I'm not the one who is like, I love you so much. I mean, I try. Mm-hmm. And for me, it feels mm-hmm. super awkward often. And I was very called out by Gemma's meme then. but yeah, it's not at all how I, and also with my friends, I don't really do that, even though, like, friends are super important, like, for me, but I'm never one who's telling them how much she loves them. I might have a few issues there, I'm aware of that, but yeah.
But that's fine, right? That's something again that I was just saying, when you work on that, you build on that, it's and I don't want to, I've banged on a lot about love languages recently, love so I don't want to kind of, yeah, I don't want to necessarily try and take over a conversation about love languages, because I could talk literally for days about it, but I completely agree with what you're saying. And there are so many situations in life, as you said there, where people don't quite understand what's going on because they don't understand the way that you are trying to reciprocate or give love. And because of that, it's confusing. I was doing a bit of reading late night the other night because I'm a nerd and that's what I do at 2 o'clock in the morning. But there's, like, situations of kids and their parents, like, you know, parents taking their kids to therapy because their kids don't want to hug and their kids don't want to, you know, hold hands or, you know, kiss or whatever. And they're worried that means that their kid is, you know, unable to love because, you know, the parents' love languages might be, you know, physical touch. And so many situations that are just completely misunderstood because people don't understand how someone loves and how to accept that. In fact, there's a situation that happened very recently with me, someone who did something for me, and I couldn't accept the fact that they were doing it. That was their love. That was them showing their love for me. I couldn't accept that. So I kept on saying to them, I need to give you this. I need to give you that. I need to do this. And they were just like, just fucking accept this and move the fuck on. And
Are you talking about Monica right now?
Yeah, I am. I didn't want to name names, but I'm totally talking about money. But, you know, like, you know, it was amazing what Moni did for me, and I was incredibly grateful for that. And I've literally just twigged in my head, and I was like, I need to message Moni after this entire thing, because I was constantly saying, I need to pay you, what do you want me to do, you know, I need to, this is incredibly, and I'm so thankful for it, like, I need to do something to say thank you and to show you the fact that I'm appreciative of this. And it's genuinely quite offensive of me, actually, to then sit there and say, actually, no, I'm not going to accept your way of showing love. I'm going to do it my way. That's not fair of me. And I'm not trying to say that I, you know, I'm not trying to paint myself as the bad guy or you as a victim or anything. But, you know, it's a learning journey, right? Now I know that. I know that if you're going to show affection to me, Moni, that's how you're going to do it. And I'm going to be able to accept that in the future. And we can kind of accept each other's love, way of showing love.
I mean, go ahead, Gemma.
No, go ahead, Moni.
No, we all want to jump in here about Moni's language here. So carry on, Monica.
No, it's just something where I'm also like, after I messaged you what I messaged you about the fact that that's why I don't want you to pay me and everything. Yeah. I was like, well, I'm kind of constantly forcing everybody to deal with the fucking shit or whatever. So it's also not like it's not accepting other people's boundaries that they might want to just show me that they appreciate what I did through whatever means they are able to do that in that moment. Mm. So I was like, yeah, well, that, maybe I just should just sometimes suck it the fuck up and not be like this super annoying bitch about it all the time and be just like, yeah, whatever, take all of this and stuff. But yeah, so it's not that you are not reading mine. It's also that I didn't read your, didn't speak your love language at the same time. Yeah, so
exactly.
What did you want to say, Gemma?
I just wanted to sort of bring up the idea of power, because I think the ideas of power and love are really intertwined. And when we misunderstand the connection between, or misuse the connection between power and love, that's when it gets dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people see love as a form of vulnerability and dependence that then becomes, you know, a bit about power. And when we think about power, we think of power over, we rarely think of power to. And it's about really transforming the idea of what it means to have power in a relationship or power in a community, and how then you harness that love to use that power to do things. That's the connection between the feeling and the action, right? At least for me.
I feel so incredibly called out by that, just because the whole love is a weakness and a vulnerability, and the whole, like, I spent such a long time in my life viewing almost all of my relationships to other people in the lens of kind of power dynamics, and showing affection or showing that you cared was, in a sense, giving up power, because you give that person the power to hurt you or leave you or insert any other things here. And it made it really hard for me to connect to other people. That's not something that, I'm not going to say that it doesn't come naturally, but it doesn't always come naturally to people. Or maybe you were hurt at some very early point in your life and it's a skill that you have to relearn. I do think that when it's a skill that you do have or that you're starting to pick up, it's incredibly empowering. Like that's when I started being more vulnerable and more open about my feelings towards other people. Like I felt scared at first, but then after a while, it just felt very empowering to be able to be so open and to be able to be so honest with people and to know exactly who I had in my life, you know, what they felt about me and who I could count on. You know, it was just very, it became a place of strength as opposed to something that I could previously considered a place of weakness.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So yeah, love.
Love. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. So how would you say that your gender identity and or orientation, how do they define your daily life? Pop it out, whoever wants to.
I'd say for me, my identity, not knowing who I was for the longest time, helped me, hurt me, because I did not love myself. I did not put myself out there. And like, I would try to find affection and going off, like what we're talking about, like I would give people too much power because I didn't love myself. And every ounce that somebody even gave me any love, if they ever started to hurt me or used it against me, I wasn't able to love myself enough to stop that. So once I found out who I was and became confident who I was, I now know, okay, if it's a mutual love and they're not trying to use their love against me, it's good. But like I've had a few toxic relationships that I've had to be like, sorry, it is not working out and bye. So it has definitely helped me, and not chasing after people for a romantic attraction, learning that because I don't feel that attraction has helped me too, that I can be like, okay, each person I meet, I can be your friend if there's a connection there, but I also don't have to worry about that dynamic of, am I attracted to them? Because I still remember it, and I'll use it because I used to identify as a man, and the typical man meets a woman. There's somebody that I met a woman at one point. My first thought wasn't, I want to date them. My first thought was, I want to be your friend. And people told me that's wrong. I was like, to learn that was absolutely okay changed everything. that I didn't have to immediately think, oh, I meet this person. What about marriage? I mean, it's a dynamic that I was always taught to be the it's a bad analogy, but you're hunting and you're looking for a mate. Mm-hmm. So that changed how I love people once I realized that.
Yeah, I think that whole power of realization is very, like, it's so massive, because like I spent most of my life being a very, I don't want to say very typical, but like I identified as like I'm cis and I identified as straight, and it was in these relationships with people, but I never felt happy in those relationships, and I reached a point in my life where I thought that, like, oh, well, romantic relationships aren't for me because I always feel trapped in these, like, monogamous relationships. And then just the discovery that, oh, actually, that's because I'm polyamorous and because I just, that relationship style doesn't work for me, but this one does, you know, was incredibly eye-opening and made me realize that I had this huge capacity for like, love and close relationships that I didn't think I had. But that was only because I was restricting myself to something I thought was what I should be doing. So this kind of normative society that we live in, that's how it's affected me specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I can relate with that in a way. I'm also polyamorous, and that has shaped my daily life, I guess. You know, I have a partner I'm married to, but I'm not close to the possibility of more love in my life. And the realization of that and the discussion with my partner about that has been very freeing. It's been really helpful, because I love him with my whole heart, want to stay with him forever. But there have been those times that I'm just like, my heart is too big. I have too much love to give, and I feel pressed down if I'm not able to share that more. Being able to be open to that, whether or not I have additional partners, but just to be more free with that, has been truly a blessing, where, you know, I'm not afraid to say I love you, and if things develop further, then that's okay, because love is everything, you know?
I definitely feel very similar to that. I have been with my wife for 19 years, and I love her with my whole heart. And that has no impact whatsoever on the fact that I am very open to love, and I'm very open to romantic relationships, sexual relationships. Like I don't even know what it would be like to not just flirt with everyone I meet. and like, that's just me. And so I can't imagine a world in which I need to tie my entire expression of love to one type of relationship, because it also varies, right? Like, I have a wife and we have a very particular relationship, and I love her in a very particular way. Not particular meaning bad, particular meaning I love her for her. Mm-hmm. And I have a girlfriend and I love her for her. And I have my sweet boy toy who I love as him. And it's very different. It's different every time I fall in love. And it's because they're different people. It's not about having a certain capacity for love and only being able to show one type of love, and that's how you show someone is special. You show that someone is special by building a connection with them that is about them and not about what society tells you to do with one person.
Absolutely. And another thing, like, for me, like, absolutely, 100%, they're different people, and you love them in different ways because you love them for that person. But also, for me, I have a lot of me.
Gemma can't relate whatsoever.
And well, this is a discussion that, like, it stems from something that Gemma and I have talked about, is like different people have different buckets or capacities, and so being able to share myself in different ways and not overburden someone with having to take care of every single aspect of my life and my needs and my well-being and my mental health and, you know, all of these things, it's that's also a very important freeing lightning part, is, you know, I can, you know, divide myself and not just, you know, shove every inch of meat down my husband's throat.
Quite literally. Sorry.
Like, well, some days you might love that, but some days.
I have some follow-up questions.
Can we just turn the podcast off for 2 seconds, actually? We've got a few.
But it's so no, true. I really, like...
Yeah, it is. No, I cut you off. No, I was just going to... It's just one of those things where my partners frequently joke that, you know, like, that's why there's two of them, because I am a little bit of a handful. And that, honestly, like, that is true. I'm not going to lie about that. And I completely agree. And something I really, really resonated with was, like, the love that you have for is very different. It's like, we are all in a relationship together, but that relationship is really like 7 relationships in one, because it's the relationship we all have to ourselves. It's the relationship I have with them individually, and it's the relationship they have with each other, and then the relationship we all have together. And those are all different things. So that has been a eye-opening experience for me, but it's also like been very important to understand that, and it's taught me all kinds of things about communication and about you know, being very constructive and honest, things that any relationship, whether platonic or romantic or monogamous or not, benefits from. So like that's something that I take with me from that I think would genuinely be useful to literally anyone ever.
Yep. But so, it's like friendship love as well, like in terms of like the thought that you can only have one friend or one child. You can only have one child, and if you have a second one, you clearly didn't love the first one enough. Like, all of those ideas for me, like, are similar. And that's not to say that I don't appreciate monogamy. Like, I think if that's what works for you, absolutely, like, that is important. But this idea that you can only feel one way about one person in one context and that's it, even if you just want to break it out to like friendship, like, this is my best friend and there can be no one else, just doesn't work for me.
I feel really called out there, Gemma, because I always feel so guilty being like, this is my best friend, and I'm like, but so is that person, they're also my best friend, and I'm like, no, but actually so is this person, they're also my best friend. And like, yeah, sorry, just was like, I need to say something there. Like, if I call you my best friend, it means a lot, but it also doesn't mean that you're my only best friend. Sorry, Mom.
That's totally fine. I don't have issues
and
with that.
And that was the end of Geek Herring.
Yeah, thanks, bye.
We also have very different love languages. That's what I was going to say earlier.
That's true.
I was going to say, I also felt a little called out, but like not in a bad way, necessarily. I have... certain mental disorders that make forming relationships very tumultuous, and I'm working on it, you know, but it's a thing, and it's always kind of been in the background. And so I've always craved that one best friend, like my whole life. I always craved that love of a best friend, someone who would call that for me as well. And like just getting to that point where I get almost there, is that's where that tumultuous comes in, because I get so attached and I get so, you know, afraid of them leaving me. And then it pushes them away. But now that I'm working on that, and started, you know, loving myself and working on myself, and realizing I don't need one person. I don't need that one person who would like put everything on me as well as a best friend. Mm-hmm. That's really been where that's been super beneficial for me, and made me feel more happier in mm-hmm. my friendships and that sort of love. Absolutely.
And I think the question is, like, are you looking for love or are you looking for validation? You can be looking for both. Validation's mm-hmm. not bad. And mm-hmm. you can want to have both. But you need to ask the question. I need to ask the question. What am I looking for in this interaction? Is it about me or is it about them? And do I have expectations that aren't agreements? Because if I have expectations that aren't agreements, it is impossible for them to be met. Mm-hmm.
And I do think society in general moved more into this direction, and not only with relationships and romantic partners, but also with friends, that there can only be one person, and that one person has to hold every role. That one person needs to be your best friend. That one person needs to be your most amazing lover. That one person needs to be the steal things in the middle of the night kind of person for you. And that is not something... Sorry, I translated something from German into English, and that's where we landed. But that's not something that one human can deliver, and that's totally fine. And like centuries ago, we had there were like more of these more communities, and people were more living in like bigger family situations, and the more we move towards being more individuals and being more us and looking more into our own, we lost that kind of part that gave us other strength, and now all that focus is on that one human being, and it clearly doesn't work. Like, it's not something that's when you are in a monogamous relationship and the person is cheating on you, then it's like always, it's never about, or hardly ever about you, but something that the other person was looking for. And so it's, and I think that's too much pressure on everyone, and especially one human individual to carry that entire weight of being all of those roles into one.
I think the more crude way of putting everything that Molly's just said there, but I love it, is what Katya, the drag queen, says when she's talking about monogamous relationships and polyamorous relationships. And she's like, people spend their entire lives trying to find that one person that, as you say, they want to put everything on. And there are probably three people in your fucking street that will happily bang you and spend the rest of their life with you if you just put, you know, if you give, like, you know, if they spread that energy out. But everyone feels like it's this, you know, this long-term goal, and it's that one thing that you need to find that one person, and you need to hook up with them, and you need to, you know, spend, I don't mean hook up in a, you know, in the back of a club way, I mean like emotional, you know, soul way, that you then, yeah, you then spend eternity with that person. And it's just, that's not, sure, that might work for some people, great, but that's not the only way to kind of, yeah, to kind of display love.
And it also links sex and love in a way that isn't necessary.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, absolutely. I think for me, I wanted to let that conversation play out because I think I'm on the complete flip side of what everyone's been saying, in the sense that my aromanticism kind of defines itself in a way that is also quite confusing for a lot of people who don't know what aromanticism means. It doesn't mean that I'm incapable of love. I'm incredibly capable of love. I love loving. It's amazing. And my aromanticism, yeah, it kind of forms in that I hate the romantic part of what people have in relationships, that having to live with someone, that wanting to be constantly attached to them, wanting to go on dates, you know, wanting marriage, wanting kids, all that kind of stuff. I don't feel that. I've never felt that. I've never woken up in the morning and felt lonely because there was no one beside me. None of that has ever occurred in my life. And I think there was, you know, it's taken a while to get the people who are very close to me to understand that, you know, family, friends. I've had, up until like my mid-20s, people kind of, you know, my parents always being, so when are you going to bring someone home? When are we going to meet someone? It's just kind of like, sorry, probably never. Like, like, you know, I don't feel that. I never had, like, I wasn't really into relationships when I was growing up. And people thought that was kind of weird that I didn't like that. And I wasn't trying to bring someone home all the time. I've got a brother and two sisters who are all in, you know, relationships now. And it's taken a long time for them to understand that that isn't something that I achieve and I aspire to, and that, you know, my life is not going to be that, you know, relationship, marriage, kids, car, house, death, whatever, you know, grandkids. I missed a quite important part there. you know, that isn't what my life is going to be like. And I'm okay with that. I'm happy with that. And I have been happy about that for a while. But in terms of how that has kind of like affected my, you know, life, I, in my head, I'm like, I've had like three comings out in my life. I've had, you know, realizing that I am, well, at the time I was a man attracted to boys, then realizing that I was aromantic, and then even so more recently realizing that I was agender, and that, you know, gender is not something, and now I say that I'm a mask pretending person that's into guys, and the easiest way for people to understand that is just to say that I'm gay. So it's, you know, third time was quite smooth because I'd done it twice already, so I kind of knew how I was going through it. But the first two were way harder, you know, for the, you know, gay, trying to understand what love meant when I wasn't supposed to be feeling it for men, but I was and had been for my entire life. I had, you know, a phase where I liked both, you know, men and women, and I don't like saying bi phase. I really hate that. I don't like that term in the slightest, but I generally, you know, I was attracted to both because I moved to a completely different part of the country and I was allowed to kind of be myself a little bit more. And then after that, kind of, you know, said, you know, actually, no, I'm gay. That's the truth. And then, you know, taking more of an active step in, you know, my responsibility when watching stuff like on TV and watching films and reading books and listening to radio and everything on the internet, and just going, I don't relate to this. I don't care in the nicest way possible when the two people fall in love at the end of a film. It doesn't matter to me. I could not be less bothered by that. And I think I messaged someone the other day about it. I was like, I think I made a tweet about it. I cry more when there's those moments of altruism in films when, you know, a friend does something for another friend and it saves their life. That's the bit, that's what gets me going. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm in floods of tears. And then it's every film I watch is then another half hour of pointless crap to me because it's then building up to the love scene that I just don't care about. And so I always struggle with that when it comes to films and watching media, because I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, this is the boring part that I really don't, like, I don't resonate with, I don't care with. So that's kind of how. And as I say, it doesn't mean I don't love. I get all my love that I need from my family and friends. I absolutely love it. And I'm still able to get emotional at, you know, wedding scenes and stuff like that, because there's more than just romance in there. But yeah, it is hard sometimes kind of trying to, you know, grow up in a world. I know you mentioned it earlier, Moni, like, you know, we just had Valentine's Day. And there's so many expectations of what you're supposed to do on a Valentine's Day. And I'm just like, none of them apply to me. None of them apply to me. It is just another day of the year for me. I could not be more bothered about it, less bothered about it even. And when the world is telling you that that's wrong, even though in myself, I know I've understood how that feels to me and I understand it and I know it, it's still tough because the 14th of February, I kind of just have to shut up and allow everything to happen around me and just accept it, when actually I'm like, no, I don't want Valentine's stuff. I don't want people to feel like they have to tell me they love me on one day of the year. It's really weird. So yeah, that's kind of my relationship with love in my gender and kind of sexual identity.
Listening to you speak, Rick, make me realize that I'm kind of 100% the opposite of you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I talk about this. I talked to this about people the other day, and what it does more than anything is reaffirms their love for romantic love, because they love that, and that's what they, you know, that's what they're after. And I never want to talk about it in a way that disrespects that, because that is how other people function, and that's what they want, and that's what they need, and that's absolutely fine. But yeah, a lot of the time, as you say, people listen to me and go, yeah, that's not me.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Like, this is a huge realization for me, though, like, listening to you speak, because I have spent my life searching for love. I had crushes on everyone. I didn't matter what gender they were. I had so many crushes. I've been in love with like romantic love twice in my life. And it wasn't until I found my current partner, my fiance, Tom, that I actually really found how love works for me. And it's the kind of love actually that you do describe, Rick, that like, it's not super romantic. It's not super cheesy. We have our schmoopy moments, but it's like, it's a friendship that has sexual elements, of course. and like it has transformed my view of love, because like I am so love driven and I always have been, because I'm always chasing to find that love, but it never worked until I found someone that actually had the romantic love that I have, which is that it's not about like being really schmoopy and really cheesy, even though that is super fun sometimes, but that's not what it's about. It's not about observing Valentine's Day and being like over the top romantic with each other. It's about somebody that you can fart in front of, because that is super, super relevant. it's about like somebody that you choose. Like for me, love is an active choice. Like I love Tom with all of my heart, but sometimes I don't like him. And I know that sometimes he doesn't like me, but choosing to love each other every single day is what keeps us together. And it's how I have redefined love for myself, because our love looks different than so many people think, like, quote unquote, straight hetero love looks like. Because like, yes, we're getting married eventually, one day, maybe. I proposed to him. Okay, that's number one. We don't intend to have any kind of traditional things happening in our relationship, like in our wedding, in our marriage. There's going to be like no patriarchal me taking his name. He's not taking mine either. Don't know what we're going to do, but like our love looks so different than this heteronormative love. And yeah, it wasn't until I found this love that I stopped searching for the kind of love that I knew I was destined to find, that I knew I had to have in my life, because it never worked out before, because it was just everybody wanted such a different love than what I wanted, what I needed, and what I have now.
I feel kind of like I'm somewhere in between these two experiences, because I spent about a decade of my life not being in romantic relationships, not really wanting them either, feeling very, I'm not going to say anti the whole thing, but like I put everything in my life into my career. That is the big love of my life. And I made it very clear to my family and to people around me that like, I don't really care if I meet somebody. I don't really care if I get married. I don't really care if I have kids. These are not life aspirations that I have. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, I don't really, you know, I don't mind either way. So for me, it was, I kind of ended up where I am today by accident. But it's one of those things where I think that similarly, there was always like, people had such a hard time accepting that. It was always like, oh, you'll change your mind when you meet the right person, or oh, you're going to want to have kids eventually. And I was like, no, I mean, I might, but I need it to be okay if I don't. And it was very important for me that the people that I surrounded myself with accepted that and thought that it was okay, even if I don't. Now I am on the track to like marriage, kids, and all of that jazz, but in a wildly different way from what other people expected of me. But it's still like almost like the opposite thing. It's a very unconventional relationship with loads of conventional elements. I want to get married. I want to wear a white dress. I want to walk down the aisle. I want my mother to walk me down the aisle. I don't have a relationship with my dad, so let's just ignore him.
mood.
And, you know, all of those things, but like that stuff that I want now. But I think it was really important for me to feel comfortable and to feel safe pursuing all these things. I almost had to make it known, and I had to have the people around me understand that even if I don't have these things, I am still a valid person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I really would have been in this situation if I hadn't managed to accept that too.
You're basically describing the opposite, like your description of your life is like the in like the opposite of mine. Because in my teenage years, I was always so in love. Like I saw someone and I was always in love with that one person. They never wanted me. They friend zoned me all the time. Amanda hates that word, but for me, it was real in the moment. I know. But that's not what it felt like for me. Like I was like, when I look into my old diaries, the amount of times I did, like I described my undying love for someone could also potentially flip quickly. But in theory, like I was so in love with everyone and I had a plan. Like I had like, I was going to get married. I was going to have kids. I wanted to have babies when I was 16. And the older I got and the more I was like, actually everything is allowed. Like I'm a countryside girl, so the rules are like harder on the countryside, I find, and the expectations are sometimes harder than we live in a city as well. So it's just what people expect of you. And because I was already like very rule abiding, I had like no like big revelations during my puberty or whatever. I was just like really easy to handle for my parents. That was like all I wanted for a very long time. And then I went to uni and I started to study also all this feminist stuff that we're talking about now. And I'm like, actually, I can do whatever the fuck I want to do. And it doesn't matter. It's my choice and not everybody else's. And now, see, for me, love now is basically, after hearing all of you talk, for me, what love is for me, it's not that romantic cheesy woo-woo shit anymore. Sorry for whoever, it's fine. Whoever enjoys that is totally fine. For me, love is something that gives me security in a way that nothing else does. Like, and as Amanda said, it's a choice for me as well. Like, I'm choosing to be with a weirdo, even though he pisses me the fuck off more than not very often. But I choose to be with him because I do love him. And because he gives me a kind of security, also an emotional security, where I'm like, I can go wherever the fuck I want to go. I can come back, and he's still there, and I'm still there for him. And that's also something that's the same for my friendships. Like I'm secure with my friends, even though they might not know how secure I am with them, because I'm not always very vocal about my love for them, obviously. So. Accurate. Sorry, your words of affirmation, it's a bad mixture here. So it's really just, for me, it doesn't matter if I don't see them for a very long time or if I don't talk with them every day, because for me, the friendship is, that's settled, right? Like we're friends, we're secure here, we're fine. So for me, the love that I have with people is based on a security and not necessarily a lot of other things, but that security is so essential and such a foundation for me that that's what everything else is built on.
Mm-hmm. For me, the single most defining relationship of my life has not been romantic, and it's not been familial, at least not in the like traditional sense, right? Like I grew up, I didn't have a family. My best friend, who I met in kindergarten when I was 5 years old, who is still my best friend to this day, is absolutely the most transformational relationship of my life.
Mm.
And we go sometimes months without talking, and then sometimes we'll talk for 13 hours in a day.
Yeah.
We haven't lived in the same spot since I was 16 years old. Mm. And I love her with my whole heart. And she is absolutely the single most defining relationship of my life.
Mm.
More so than my wife. More so than any other sort of friendship. And it's not because of like a waiting. It's because this is the one person who has seen me through everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have that with my best friend.
I have that kind, not that situation, but I'm like the third the throuple in a relationship like that. My two best friends from university met in kindergarten when one of them walked up to the other one and said, "Do you want to be my friend?" And they became friends. And I found them in university. And the three of us have been inseparable ever since. And seeing that friendship is incredible. Like I have friends from, like, one friend from kindergarten and one friend from birth. Isn't it great when you're born with friends? Well, no, I was born and then he was born and I was born first. So therefore I have been friends since the day he was born. Anyways, not important. But seeing that kind of friendship that has, like, spanned since kindergarten and being allowed to be part of it is it transforms your life as well. Being in that relationship, seeing it thrive through all phases of life is just so incredible. And, like, of course I feel absolutely blessed to be there as well and taking part in it and being best friends with them too.
I had, like, my best friend for 20 years. We are not friends anymore now. She was also the sister, I mean, she still is the sister of my sister-in-law. So my brother and her sister got married, and that's when we met. And my brother is 13 years older than me, so we met when we were 7 and have been friends for, like, 20 plus years since then. And that breakup was really hard. And it was also really hard in a way where I'm like, it took me a good while to be able to see friendship as something super important to me again, because of that. That was a friendship that was also, like, kind of family bound in a way that I never thought that would ever not exist anymore. And I'm not saying this for in a way to be, like, get, like, pity about this, but to say that there is some other side of that too, where you can be like, you can have these great relationships, these great long relationships, and they can still be important for you, and they can end, and they won't break you for other people. So they can still, they hurt, and that's life, and that's just sometimes how it is. And sometimes everything has a season, so things last for a while and then they don't anymore, and that's okay. And you will be able to get everything you want after that specific moment as well. Like, you can get another best friend, or you can get another really important friend in your life after you lost one, or you get another person in your life after you're not in a relationship with them anymore. So that's just my motivation of don't give up if you've been hurt once, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of my friends, I don't have the same friends now. I mean, even, like, my grouping's no longer the same as it used to be. I mean, because now a lot of it's, like, the LGBTQIA2+ community on Twitch, people from the WoW community who support that community. I have besties, but I have a lot of besties, and they all know that, like, we may not always talk, but whenever we do talk, there's so much love there, and I reserve that for people. But yeah, there are seasons, and don't be afraid to say, hey, this relationship is not working, and like, they may have loved you at one point, but I think Jim brought up an amazing point that has stuck with me is that power when it becomes where they want to seek power over you, or they want something from you, and that's all they want. That's when I think you should end it. And I've had to make some tough choices recently where I'm like, I'm ending this. This is not working. Mm-hmm.
Boundaries are the first way of self-love, y'all.
And of boundaries loving are extremely other people. Important. Without yes. boundaries, the love doesn't, like, it's not healthy. Mm. It's not just about loving yourself. You will put boundaries up to make sure that other people know who you are and can love you the way you need to be loved.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We've been going on for a very long time. We still have so many questions, so we're just going to flip through a few of them, because I know also Rick is streaming later and I don't want to keep you from your time, from your own schedule, oh dear.
Good.
So I would just like to maybe ask one last question, and then we go through the rounds. which is kind of a combination of like what kinds of love are really important to you, and maybe do you have like one really nice story about love that you want to share with everyone before we move on?
Yeah, something that really resonated with me when we were talking earlier was when Gemma, when you were talking about your best friend. So I have two very close friends, one whom I've known since I was about 12. We actually met online on a Swedish Harry Potter fan site, you know, way back when I could still accept that J.K. Rowling was cool.
This is a
before mood. I discovered she's not. So way back before, you know, my dreams were shattered, I met this person, and she has been like, we haven't always been super close, but we both went to uni in the same country, both moved to Scotland, we became very close, we went through a lot of stuff together, and like we moved to London together, we've done everything together, and in terms of like transformational relationships, like yeah, that is probably one of my most important friendships. And then another friend of mine who also moved to London now, I've known her since I was 16, and I was talking to my mother once, and she said that she just like felt so happy that I had these two friends in my life who have been like, they are like family, like they are incredibly close to me, they are close to my mother. We are very, 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 very close to each other in terms of like just the kind of like you will go to that place at 3 a.m. in the morning because that is your sister. And I've often said to both of them that like I know that some people aren't lucky enough to have friendships like these once in their life, and I've been incredibly fortunate to have it twice and to still have these two people in my life. So like they are absolutely the most important people in my life. Like I love my partners, but it's not the same thing. So yeah, I just wanted to share that because they're very important to me.
Yeah, I think for me it's yeah, the so for people who don't know, I lost my mum when I was quite young. My mum passed away when I was 3, and my dad remarried when I was 5. And the woman he remarried, who I now refer to as mum, if you ever hear me saying mum or anything like that, I refer to my stepmum as mum. I don't call her stepmum. She already had 2 kids of her own. So she'd gone through a terrible breakup with her husband, which was a whole entire different story about how love can be incredibly toxic. But yeah, like our two kind of family units came together. It was my dad, me and my sister, and then my stepmom, who had 2 kids, a son and a daughter. We kind of came together, and from day one, we have been this inseparable, strong family unit. Like there is nothing that we have come up against so far, at least, and God, we've come up against a lot, that has managed to break us or managed to, you know, tear us apart or make us feel that any of us would love each other and love one another any less. And for me, I feel incredibly privileged by that. I had a mum that loved me a hell of a lot. And I know that. I've been told that she did. My biological mum made some incredible sacrifices to ensure that I was still here to this day. And to have another woman step into that kind of role and just be able to be like unconditionally, without any sort of ifs, ands or buts, there has never been a day where she has loved one of my, you know, one of her kids over me or my sister, is just, it's anchors me. If I'm being completely honest, it keeps me grounded. It makes me understand that love is full, unconditional. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what your background was, what position you had to be in, or what position you went through, that you just love. If it's someone you love, you'll just love them. And so I that is probably the strongest one for me. Strongest kind of love relationship I have. And it goes more, I think it goes more beyond just parent and kid. Yeah, it goes beyond that. It's really hard to explain. And I don't think I've explained it very well there, but it's, very well. Yeah. that's kind of my most important relationship when it comes to love for me.
Thank you for sharing.
Sorry, I feel like I lowered the tone massively.
No, it's completely fine.
That's good tears.
Yeah,
I'll be honest, it made me miss my mom so much hearing you talk about that. She is my best friend and she lives in Sweden, so I haven't really been able to see her a lot in the past year for obvious reasons. So I feel that. I really do.
I know I'm also very lucky that I have that strong anchor and foundation within my family, where it's very similar. I know even when I was coming out to them and I was very terrified because of, you know, they're religious and things like that, I knew I wasn't going to lose that, which was a huge blessing. And I feel very similarly. I'm very fortunate and I want to say blessed, but to have that anchor and that connection with my family.
I'd say for me, because I've talked with her and she's in this chat right now. One of the people that we've I consider her a sister is Amanda. That Amanda's been with me since the beginning, like back when I identified as a man, but back when I didn't know what I was doing with my life, didn't know all this stuff, and ever since that first tweet where I started talking with Amanda, it has meant so much, and that's why I've shared so much with Amanda over the years, and I'm so thankful for that, because it's been especially this past year has been very tough, and like to have a family member who, when you say that you love them and they don't even respond back, and so thank you, Amanda, thank you for being there.
I love you so much, Rosalie. Since that first day that we were talking about building hippie rafts in BC in Canada, you know, you've helped define my life, and it's been wonderful. And wow, you made me cry. I have been fortunate to have a built-in best friend. I was born with 9 days after I was born, I had a best friend because, oh, wow, look at the tears. They're flowing. Hang on. I look really hot right now, so I don't want to ruin it, okay?
Too late, Amanda.
Oh, shit. I was born with a best friend. My dad and his dad. Oh, so much tears, so much emotion. They grew up next to each other in Northern Ireland, and they moved to Canada together and had babies 9 days apart. And my best friend and I have been through a lot together. We grew up as kids. We kind of moved apart in high school because his parents got a divorce, and there was a lot of problems there, but we kept coming back together. We kept finding each other in and out of all the relationships, everything. We tried to be romantic together. It was weird. I was like, you're my brother. He was like, you're my sister. It didn't work. We accepted that. And his dad died when we were 21, and I lost my uncle. My dad lost his best friend, and it could have been the end. I could have lost my best friend, but I didn't. I was in Greece when his dad died. So I didn't get to have that like emotional goodbye, but I got to return to Canada and be with him eventually and talk about how much like we reconnected, and we've never lost that connection ever since. And I'm so thankful to have his relationship in my life. He has a little girl now, and she is the only niece that I'm ever going to have. She's the only niece ever. Well, I mean, unless he has more children, right? But right now she is the only niece I have, and she's not my blood relative, but she's the only little girl that matters as much to me in the entire world, because she is perfect and she's beautiful. And I am so thankful for his friendship every single day, because everything I'm going through with my family right now, for anyone who doesn't know, my dad has cancer, and
Graham has been my rock through it all. He has been my boots on the ground back in Canada to be there for his Uncle Alan, for his person, who is probably right now the only father figure he has left in his life other than his father-in-law, because he's been there as well. And having that friendship and that love, and I tell him all the time that I love him. I didn't for a long time, but I do now, and he tells me back, and we know that it's not romantic love, because like I say, we did attempt that once upon a time, and it was weird. But yeah, it's that, like, that is my life defining love, and I'm just really grateful that I've had it since 9 days after I was born. Okay, I'm gonna cry now. Carry on.
I think that's the found family that like, yeah. You have that, but it really is a family that closer than any brother or sister. Yeah.
If we want to talk about other types of love that are important to us, I know we've been talking about, you know, friendship love, family love, romantic love, but for me, some people don't understand. Some people do. But the love I have for my pets, that is, they are my children. Unless I get to a place where I feel comfortable adopting, and I feel like I can take that on emotionally, mentally, physically, they're going to always be my children. But my first dog that I got all on my own, once I was an independent person, kind of stumbled into my life. She was this really old pug who had some health issues, and her owner from previous had passed away, and I didn't think that she was going to live very long, but she ended up remaining in my life for a long time, several more years. This necklace that I'm wearing is her, and this bead has her ashes in it. That's kind of how important she is to me, but she was my rock. She was, you know, very surprisingly for an older dog who had another family before, she bonded with me so intensely and quickly, and she was always next to me and always beside me and would look for me when I wasn't around, and it's a weird thing to explain to people who don't have that deep-seated connection with animals, but she was my best friend, and losing her last year was one of the most difficult times of my entire life. Yeah, I don't know. It's
pets are family. Pets are absolutely pets are family. Family.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
No. I was going to say, you said that we've all spoken about friends and familial, but as far as I'm concerned, pets sit very strongly in that category. Like, that's not a separate category as far as I'm concerned. That's where they exist.
Yeah. Also, it's so easy to bond with animals because there is zero judgment from them. So mm-hmm. it's just, mm-hmm. you have an animal for one day and it's like, they've always been here. They show you love so unconditionally, like no human sometimes can. And it's just like that when they get taken away from you or they have to move on, then it's just so much harder sometimes. Gemma, do you want to share?
Yeah. Of course, Gemma.
Before, yes.
For me, the love of community, the love that I have for the collection of people that are wandering around on the space rock, the love that I have for the desire to build a better world for every single person who comes after me, the desire for every single person to feel love, to know love, to feel safe enough to show that love. That's what drives me. That a whole world is out there, and through love, mm-hmm. it can be made just.
And there's nothing I love more than every single person on this planet.
I love that.
I love all of you. Just really want to put that out there.
Well, it's one of those things where, this is a slightly tangent, but I'll circle back to it. Is that like I am this color, and I grew up in Sweden. I grew up in a country where most people don't look like me, and I never really felt like I spent so much of my life wanting to be like everyone else. And that is a lesson I am still unlearning, but it is the power of community. It's been the power of meeting people who are different from me, meeting people who are like me, meeting people who have had similar or equivalent or wildly different but still relatable experiences from mine, that has made me realize that I'm not alone on this planet. You know, like it's a feeling I carried with me for such a long time, even though like I have close family, I have close friends, but it was just like this sense of like, I love all these people, but there are just experiences that I've had that they can't relate to. And then meeting other people who had similar experiences, or just understanding that this like sense of offness was not me being weird. It was just that I'm not like these other people. Like that whole thing was really, really eye-opening. And I feel like there's just something to community where you can talk to people that you have just met. I didn't know anybody on this call before today. And I think that is, you can still feel very close to people or share something with somebody based on that.
These boys how we doing. You ready?
Higher, further, faster, yeah. Baby.
I mean, I can only echo what like has been said. For me personally, it has been the friends I've made through communities. And I had like a few of those in my life. One, we cannot talk anymore now because we don't do it. The other one was through business. Why? Because I wanted to not do life like I do anymore. Started my own business, met Amanda and Tom and a lot of other people that I like love dearly. And then this year with a stupid great fucking asshole pandemic, who we do kind of have to be kind of thankful for, because that brought us to this Twitch thing and the Twitch community and the people we met here and all of you, like besides Amanda obviously and Fraz, because Fraz knew Amanda, but that's also another community on how they found each other. So for me, it is the thing that most changed me, my life, and what brought me most security, because my family situation is not as stable after my mother died. So she was the glue of everything. So that now it's all just like floating around in the air. But communities were always a place where it was safe to be who I am, safe to be however I am, and safe to meet people from all walks of life with their beautiful stories, with sharing something with them that is so unique to us in that moment, but yet still so diverse at the same time. I think that's what the love that I have for communities and the people I meet through them is the thing that's most defining for me, I think.
I would say over this past year, my life has changed so much within this one year than I think it ever has. There's been a lot of world changes, and that is a part of it, but the fact that it led me to Twitch, that the community that I found here has been eternally life-changing. I am a different person. I am happier. I am more myself. I have people that I can fall back on and land on. And it has quite literally saved my life. And just having that collective group of people, very much the individuals I've met 100%, and a lot of you are in here right now, but that collective as well, that acceptance that I have somewhere that I belong and accepted me before I was even beginning to be myself where I live. So, yeah.
Thank you so much, everyone. I think that's a great point to end this because we're all
just crying now.
And also, I'm sorry, Rick, that we kept you longer.
It's fine. Seriously, don't worry about it.
But if you want, you can hop off and we can raid you.
I'm thinking that, actually.
Do it.
Because
do
that
it.
Would be like...
Yeah, do it.
Kind okay, of, bye.
Thanks so much
get
for being
here.
And
get out of here, Rick.
No.
Yeah, I'll fuck but off and want, just cry on my own for a second. It's fine.
We can cry all together.
We're all crying here. It's okay.
I'll hop off, but genuinely, thank you genuinely for having me. Thank you for everyone being so open and honest and raw and real, because that genuinely at the end of the day is what love is. It's just being honest with how you feel to everyone, anyone, anywhere. And I feel like we genuinely did I don't want to say achieve this today, because that feels like we were aiming for something, but it feels like we hit that level, which is more important than anything. So thank you very much for having me, and I will hopefully speak to you all very soon.
Yes. Thanks so much for being here, and thanks everyone.
This was beautiful. Like, I didn't know what to expect from this conversation.
These boys, how do it. You ready?
But it was everything and more. And I know Rick's not here anymore, but everybody that's here, thank you for having this conversation. Thank you for being so open and vulnerable. Thank you for holding me while I cried. And I'm grateful that I can be here while you cried. Like, this was just, I don't know, I didn't expect this. And it was beautiful and perfect and exactly what love is.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.